Let's give Jesus a bigger clap. Hallelujah. When I saw Mrs. Rotimi, I said, wow, you're looking beautiful. Isn't she looking beautiful? I mean, she has always been beautiful, but she's looking more beautiful. I said, when your husband saw you, what did he say? She didn't tell you all that.
Wow, you are beautiful.
She said that. He said, wow, you are beautiful. And she said she was wearing a pair of slacks. And the man just looked. And his head was just. She told me.
My description now.
She told me now. Yeah, she's sitting now. You know me now. I ask questions. If you don't ask questions, you don't get answers.
Yeah.
I didn't go for that. That was where she stopped. Whatever happened after the compliment, I did not ask. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. You know, I just thank God. How many of you have read this book?
Go back, I read it again.
The Jubilee edition will come out very soon by God's grace. This one was 2003 or something, I don't remember that, 2003. But I want somebody to come and read this portion to us. You see, that I keep saying, when you read Revelations, keep them in mind. Because you are the one who can finally say, this is what the times are saying. Are you with me? Somebody come and read this paragraph out. Go ahead. A big bust. What is a bust? American word. The police bust somebody. Bust one group. Do you follow me now? So this subtitle says the big bust. Now keep reading.
I saw a mighty house with large premises.
A mighty house with large premises.
It belongs to a very influential man.
Belonging to a very influential man. Who was believed to be untouchable.
The man had committed a lot of evil. But hitherto had escaped the law. Now I saw a lot of law agents.
Police, soldiers, SSS.
Storm the premises and
search
the whole place.
Bringing out a lot of exhibits.
Arrests were made and a tunnel was found to run.
A tunnel was found to run
from the premises and out to some location. So we are moving through what seems to be
a... Don't worry, I think that is enough. The other detail, when we come to that in the future. I thought that I was talking here some weeks ago. Was it here?
Yes, sir.
Did I mention a name?
No.
What did I say? Yes. Yes. About this revelation. Yes. And I said that I didn't have a name, but I believe that it will be Babangida. Do you remember? I said it here. That I didn't have a name in the revelation, but from the description, I believe that it will be Babangida.
Yes.
Our God is awesome. Look at it. When you look at the description, you follow me. You would have said, well, Babangida, or somebody else, what? Now things are beginning to happen. Give Jesus a mighty clap of Hallelujah. See, look, what else do you need to be convinced that your God is God? And He knows all this. And of the Holy Spirit as said by Jesus, He will tell you of things to come. scripture is the scripture. I think I said it some time ago, if you come with the word of prophecy and somebody has an argument against it, don't argue. I told you, right?
Yes.
I said don't argue. Every true prophecy will eventually pass the test of time. That is all. True prophets don't fight over their prophecies. Look at the Bible. They don't. Praise the Lord. Ahab said for Micah, here, tell us, if we go to Ramoth Gilead, what is going to happen? He said, oh, go and prosper. He knew he was making a joke. He said, I have told you that for God's sake, don't jest concerning what I ask. Tell me the truth. The man said, this is the truth. I saw your soldiers all scattered. They had no leader. He said, you see, haven't I told you that he never prophesied any good thing about him? He said, hey, you, take this man, go and lock him up. So what? Locking him up does not alter the prophecy. Killing him does not change the word of God. He said, lock this man up. Feed him with the bread of affliction and give him the water of affliction until I return in peace. That was his own prophecy. He never returned.
Because the man of God says, if you return, then God
will. The man of God said, if you return, God did not send me. Let us wait and see. Another prophet standing there said, you, if the Spirit of God depart from you to prophesy me. Not there. Relax. You will be ashamed in your chamber when things happen. Glory to God. See, I have to follow events. I believe in prophetic messages. I thank God for the spirit of prophecy. I thank God. They let me see the future. That's why I'm talking about the watchman. A prophet is a watchman. God shows him when it is far away. So he tells the people, I see this coming. Go and read your Bible. See watchmen. In my name of the apocalypse, I talked about a watchman to explain. The watchman is set on a tower so that he can see far ahead physically. So when he sees something coming, then he announces, I see such and such and such coming, so that people can prepare. Or he blows a trumpet or whatever it is, but he's supposed to see it ahead of the other people. A prophet is a watchman. Behold, I have set you a watchman. Are you with me? Not the watchman climbing the tower, but the watchman seeing with the eyes of the Spirit way ahead of time. The Lord will be glorified in this country. We were talking with Major Bimbi yesterday, and I was saying, look, when we say that God has taken control, don't ever believe that things cannot get worse before they get better. But to look at you also, are we? We had quite some time to talk. When he came in, I told him that you had come in. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look, the fact that God is in, God has never lost control of anything. Let me tell you the truth. He has left, when Israel was in captivity for 400 years, God did not lose control. He did not. Oh yes, we don't want some things to happen in Nigeria. Like I have told you, I don't care. I want things to happen according to God's perfect will. That is all. Not wanting a particular thing. Look, I told my wife one time, one of her siblings was so much into materialism and we were praying for him to have salvation. Then one day, the Spirit prompted me and I told my wife, I said, let me tell you something. I said, my bad, what way? But not my dad, only bad experience. So he said, my bad, oh. Don't pray and say, Lord, don't let him have a bad experience. Maybe God has to smite him. Bam! So that he will turn around and look at the area and say, ah! If somebody suddenly hits you, won't you examine the area? Yeah, you will examine the area. Oh, wow. Why did you smite me like that? Because, praise the Lord. I said, don't say that. Let God do what he will do to him so that he comes and he gets saved. That is all. Leave Nigeria to God. Let God do what he will do. Nigeria existing as one state forever, glory to God, so long as we exist in peace and love and true brotherliness. Let me tell you, as we are standing here today, in the hearts of most Nigerians, except for those who are exploiting us, they want us in pieces. Except for those who are still benefiting from Nigerian oil. Okay? But in my heart, I don't care. I want a place where we are true brothers and sisters, we love each other, and I want to see the liberty to practice your faith. That is all. I'm not asking everybody to be a Christian in Nigeria. It will not happen.
No.
It will not happen. Don't say prayers that are bogus. Are you with me? It will not happen. But the Lord will draw from that. He will draw. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But whatever religion you have, you should respect the others. Let them practice their own religion if it's God. God has the power to compel everybody. Everybody. But he doesn't use it. And he leaves you.
And one of their hadiths. That's what one of their hadiths says.
Yes.
One of their hadiths. That's what he says.
Okay.
That God has power to make everybody.
To make everybody.
But he has not.
But he's not doing it.
It's there in their hadiths.
And then you will say that somebody will not practice.
Tulasi.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord has more ahead for us. More and more and more ahead for us. What I'm doing now, holding Christian forums from place to place, is to sensitize Christians. When we say revive the church, revive the church, revive the church, we say it, we say it, we say it. But the process of reviving the church lies in our hands. It's all in the Bible. I when I was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, I was asking questions here. When I teach help in other places, I ask them seriously. Most Christians make supplication to God for material properties more than they do for spiritual things. Do you know that?
Yes.
But let's face it.
Yes.
We do. Very true. So how is the church revived when our prayers are material oriented? Revive the church. Well, everything is there for the church to be revived. Will the church be revived? The Lord spoke to me just now recent. The Lord said, I have given you the anointing for Christian forums. Begin to do them. And so I started. Do you follow me up? And I told them to come and show us when I was holding the forum. I said, I'm coming back again. In fact, somebody told me on the phone yesterday, those who missed it are asking if I could come back. And I put in my letter, come this one time because I don't have the time to keep coming back to every place. I have my own church. I have my mission work. Do you follow my point? Okay. So I told him I will consider it. Because when they attend, then they see what there is in it. And then they tell those who did not attend, and those ones are asking, can he come back? Praise the Lord. But by the grace of God, we will just continue and continue and continue. Doesn't matter. We don't fear anybody. I'm not a politician. You know that I'm not a politician, are
you? You are not a partisan politician.
I'm not a that's what I said to people. I campaign for Jesus. If that is good, I campaign for Jesus. I'm not into party politics here. But I campaign for Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about jubilee. And we were looking at the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. And I believe we got to verse 22.
Where is your
own? So today we'll start from verse 23.
I'll blow mine.
Will somebody then begin to read from verse 23? Now remember the things that we have talked about. The other time we said that we couldn't start looking at Jubilee from Jubilee. We should start looking at Jubilee from the concept of the Sabbath. And we looked at the Sabbath of days, 7 days, the Sabbath of years, 7 years, and we looked at the things that happened. And we ended up with where God was saying, you will then ask, If you planted in the sixth year and you are not going to plant in the seventh year, what are you going to be eating until the eighth year when you plant and the thing begins to produce? God said, I will command my blessing and your land in the sixth year will produce enough to cover you for 3 years.
Yes.
Awesome God. And we said, therefore, it is God who commands your land to produce. And your land, what you harvest in 1 year is actually not the limit of what your land can produce. God says, when I say land, produce 3 times what you normally produce, the land must obey. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord command your business to boom.
Amen.
May He command your life to boom.
Amen.
To be productive.
Amen.
May He make you a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So now we begin from verse 23. Somebody, you stand up. What is the microphone? Somebody who is reading?
The last.
You can hold it for her if she's going to start you next. Okay.
Verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever.
Okay.
For the land is mine.
Yes.
For ye are strangers and sojourners with me.
Okay.
Verse 24.
Maybe you should hold that for a minute. He said the land. You know, remember they have allocated land to that tribe by tribe. He says you are not to sell the land permanently. Because I'm only leasing the land to you. It belongs to me. You are sojourners. The land belongs to me. I'm leasing it to you. So if I lease a property to you, you have no right to sell it. Are you following me now? Okay. There is no lease where you are allowed to sell the property that was leased to you. That is what God is saying. Now, God also has a reason for saying that to them. Later on, we will see some things that can be sold permanently. Okay, but God has made sure that every tribe will have an inheritance. Are you with me? That every tribe will have an inheritance. So, if one tribe begins to wax strong and begins to buy up the property of another tribe permanently, very soon, that tribe will no longer have. Are you following me? So God made sure that whatever was sold must be returned at Jubilee. So that one tribe is not deprived of its own inheritance. Whatever you sold out, whatever anybody sold out, must return at Jubilee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That way, God made sure that you are not going to be in poverty for the rest of your life. Your properties will eventually return. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
And in all the land
yes.
of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxing poor
yeah.
and had sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have done none of to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall not return unto his possession.
Now let us look at that one briefly. If you have sold something, he says you can redeem it. I think we'll come to it later on. I think you have a period of 1 year. For example, you need money. You really need money. And you didn't happen to be right. Okay, like sometimes somebody has a court case. and it's costing a lot of money. And he has a house, and he says, I have to sell the house because of this litigation. Are you with me? Okay, so he sells the house, he gets money to attend to the court case. Then God says he should be allowed to redeem it. Redeem means buy back. That is the meaning of redemption. Jesus redeemed us with his blood. He used his blood to buy us back. If something was not lost, you will not be redeeming it. You only redeem that which is no longer in its proper place. Hallelujah. So God says, you must give him time. And I believe it's the period of 1 year, we'll see later on, to redeem it, which means he will look at the period that the material has spent with the man. Then he will look at what should remain. Remember, we talked about ratio from the time of sale to the next jubilee, right? Okay, so he will look at what should remain, and he will pay that, and he will take the property back. If he is not able to redeem it within the period, then the material remains with the one who bought it until jubilee. When it is jubilee, the material goes back to the owner. Yes.
And if a man sells a dwelling house.
Now, if a man sells a dwelling house.
In a world city.
In a world city.
Then he may redeem it within a whole year.
He may redeem it within 1 year.
After it is sold.
Yes.
Within a full year.
Yes.
May he redeem it.
Yes.
And if it be not redeemed.
Yes.
Within the space of a full
within
year.
Within 1 year.
Then the house that is in the world city.
Yes.
Shall be established.
Yes.
Forever to him. That
yes.
God is throughout his generations.
Hallelujah.
It shall not go out in the jubilee.
It shall not go out in the jubilee. Remember, I told you some things are not redeemed at jubilee. That is one of them. If you sold a house in a city, world city, if you do not redeem it within 1 year, the one who bought it owns it permanently. He does not return it to you at jubilee. Yes, ma'am. Let's go on.
But the houses of the villages which have no wall round about them shall be counted as the fields of the country.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If there is a house in the village, it is counted as a place of professional farming. Are you with me? Farmland. Continue.
Notwithstanding, the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession, may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man possess of the Levites, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
For the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the fields of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession.
Hallelujah.
And if thy brother be waxing poor and falling in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him by visual for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxing poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. Verse 41. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possessions of his fathers shall he return, for they are my servants,
which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, they shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with vigor, but shalt fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaid, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession, and ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever, but over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with vigor. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh to of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. 50. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant, shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. Verse 53. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with vigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in this year, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants, they are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Hallelujah. So you see God's commands as pertaining to the Jubilee. You can buy strangers and make them bondmen and women, and they can become your permanent possessions. And in the year of Jubilee, they don't go free. God allowed you to keep them. Hallelujah. But any one of your own brethren, the redeemed of the Lord, that he redeemed from Egypt, none can be kept permanently. If a person could not be redeemed until Jubilee, when Jubilee comes, he goes with his family. God emphasized that family, family all the time, because if you are a slave, your wife is automatically a slave. And your children born in slavery are slaves. They're not free men. Are you with me? So when Jubilee comes, all of them must go. That is the command of the Lord. But for the children of Israel that I redeemed from Egypt, they cannot be bondmen and women permanently. Hallelujah. The reason that we're going through all of this, you will see later on. Because everything that we're talking about now, we are still inside the Old Testament. Are you with me? we are still looking at the Old Testament, and I think I told you not long ago, that when you're studying the Bible, when you're reading the Old Testament, whatever concept you're reading, always know that there is something about it in the New Testament. And what you are reading under the Old Testament is only a shadow of the reality of things under the New Testament. And I think that I said, I hope it was here, that relating with my shadow is not the same as relating with me. Did I say that here? Right here. And I said, if you want, go and shake hands with my shadow. Or smile to my shadow and let it smile back to you. Are you with me now? A shadow is a shadow. It's not the same as the real thing. Thank God for Colossians 2. It says the ordinances were against us. It didn't let us know what we are. Your shadow doesn't tell the reality of what you are. So Jesus took the ordinances and nailed them to the cross. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Give Jesus a clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Question. Microphone.
Thank you, sir. Why is the land so important to God? Land.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to God?
Okay.
Because most of what you are talking about is land.
It's not only land. Jubilee is about all material things, including human beings.
No, I'm not saying Jubilee. I'm not saying land.
Okay.
I'm talking generally now. Land.
Yes.
It caused the land to produce.
Okay, that's okay. I understand.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you one question. Look around you today. What causes more trouble in the world? Is it boundaries or houses?
Boundaries.
So God is making sure that He lets the people know. This land that I allocated to you belongs to me. It is the lease. Don't sell it to anybody permanently. And the laws were made clean and clear. Are you with me? Up till today, the Palestinians are fighting against Israel because the Palestinians are saying the land is our own land. Are you following me now? They're not even saying the houses on the land belong to them. They know that the houses on the land were not built by them, but they are claiming the land, not the houses. Of recent, when Israel moved out of some settlements which they had built because of negotiations to release them to the Palestinians, you know what Israel did? They came with bulldozers. They bulldozed the houses on the land, and they left them with the land, no houses on top. Is your question answered, sir? Glory to God. I was even saying, why would they bulldoze the houses? It's a waste of money. Let them move in and occupy the houses. But as far as they were concerned, the land, okay, take the land. We built the houses, they bulldozed. Okay. Hallelujah. Any other question? Any comment? Now. Yes, somebody? Okay.
Praise God. Although I'm not a legal man, but the Lord says whatever is on the land or under the land is part of the land. So, house and the land are the same.
The law does not say that. There is no place where the law has said that. Let me give you an example. In any case, let me say this.
Example,
I beg your pardon.
Contribution to what you are saying.
Okay.
It, what he's trying to say has to do with this aspect of the law. If you purchase the land, what the law is trying to tell you here and here is that the spirit above it and whatever belongs in it belongs to the man who has acquired the land.
That is not what he's saying.
No, I thought that was what he's saying.
No.
He said,
He's talking about the house on the land, not the space above. There are two different things. You see, if I buy one plot of land, are you following me? who in his right mind will come to occupy the space above that one plot? It is not possible. No, what he is saying is that if there is a house on the land, it is regarded as part of the land. And I'm saying the Lord did not say that anywhere. Now, give you examples. You bought a vast area of land, like the University of Illinois. They had a case some years ago. They bought the land years ago. They started to build on it. Then the owners of the land came and said, we are going to sue for the economic trees on the land. Haven't you heard of that before? There are cases like that. The land was sold, the doctor said, yeah, the owner said, the economic trees on the land, and they will get money. They will be paid for the economic trees. Are you following me, sir? Now, praise the Lord. The reason is this. At the time that you are buying the land, you ought to have specified everything in the agreement. You go to a lawyer that you want to buy these two plots and there is a structure on it. Your lawyer will specify in the agreement that the land with all of what is on it is being sold to you by this family for this amount. If he does not specify, you have trouble in the future. I don't follow this. Okay. Do you have a question or are you just scratching your forehead? You are just scratching your forehead. Okay, keep scratching it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, before I take the next segment, which will take me to 11 o'clock, let me ask, are there other questions or comments? Okay, then I will not take the next item. I want us to address this and we'll close by 11. Praise yes, sir. Hallelujah.
When Dr. started this discussion, so I don't think it was part of the main topic. But he said he has a faith in prophecy.
Yeah.
You see, I have read in the Bible a situation where God made a false promise or a false
prophecy
to a prophet.
Okay.
And a prophet delivered the message.
Yeah.
According to God's message.
Okay.
In that case, I became confused. I won't say the prophet is a false prophet.
No. You see? Now, can you tell the story? Let us identify the prophet and the prophecy, because that is important.
I can't, as of now, remember the
okay.
part of the case precisely, but all I can remember is that the prophet delivered the prophet.
Okay.
And the prophecy was actually from God.
Okay.
It was a false prophecy.
Okay.
What made him to tell lie or to
tell the lie? Okay. You can have your seat.
That one was a liar.
I know. Let me tell you now. God did not send his prophet to deliver a false prophecy. Number one. You're talking about Micah. Or in the Hebrew version, Micaiah. It was not Micah who delivered, I have talked about him today. It was not Micah who delivered the prophecy. It was the 400 prophets that Ahab had. And they were prophets of Baal. Anyway, the Ahab was a terrible idol worshiper. Are you with me? Jezebel brought him into idolatry. Because he married from Syria, and that was their own God. There she brought it. You follow me now? God has determined that Ahab was going to, it was time for Ahab to die. So the Bible said God called a conference in heaven. The spirits that attended to him. How do we get Ahab to go and die at war? The Bible said one spirit suggested something. Another spirit suggested something. Then one spirit said,
Lord, let me go as a live spirit and put light in the lips of his prophets, his own prophets, so that his prophets will prophesy lies to him and he will believe them. He will believe his own prophets anyway. You follow me now? And he will believe them and go to die. And God said, you are very smart. Go and do it. That is what you're talking about. Are you with me now? So, when the prophets prophesied, and Micah came and prophesied the opposite, that was what I said today. He said, you see now, you see, he never prophesies good concerning me. Arrest the man, lock him up. You follow me now? If God knew what he preferred. And now, finally, let me say this. If God gives you a statement which you consider to be a lie, and God says, go and deliver it, you are a true prophet, not a false prophet. A true prophet delivers what God gives to him to deliver. If you think it is a lie, but that was the wisdom of God. Are you following me? So, a true prophet is a prophet who carries a message from God and delivers it. It is not for you to judge the message because you cannot judge God. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so put that in order. I said to people, when you look in the Bible, you see a few instances where God tells somebody, go and do it like this. In your own judgment, why should God do a thing like that? But you don't query God. When God gave the Ten Commandments, they were not for him. They were for you. Right? Thou shalt not kill. But you. If God wants to slay somebody, and he did it many times, who is going to arrest him? SSS. Who's going to arrest him? He sits there on his throne in heaven and he does whatsoever he likes. That is God. He told Moses, tell the Pharaoh, you will only go 3 days' journey to worship God. Are you? You think that Moses, in his own wisdom, should say, God, but we are not only going for 3 days now, we are going to the land of promise, we are never returning. Pharaoh, don't mind him, John. We are not going for 3 days. We will go to the land of promise permanently. He would have completely destroyed God's plan. Do what God told you to do. That is the wisdom of God. And the Bible said eventually, they crossed the Red Sea. And after the Red Sea, they went 3 days' journey and they stopped. And they interacted with God there at Marah. And God made the covenant of healing with them. And then they moved on. Let me tell you. If he said, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to worship the Lord. Did he say, we will not come back? He didn't say that. Did he say, we will come back?
No.
No. He didn't say that. In psychology, that is what is called closure. You give closure to a statement. Somebody makes a statement, then you read it your own way. That is you. Are you following me now? Somebody makes a statement, then you say, therefore, you add your own to conclude. It is called closure. That is you. He didn't tell you that. Samuel, take your horn of oil, go to the house of Jesse. There is somebody there that you are going to anoint for me to be king over my people. Hey, Lord, there is a king on the throne over which you are laughing. You cannot have two kings. If Saul knows, Saul will kill him. Kill me. God said, therefore, you don't tell Saul what you didn't say, you have not said. Don't tell him that you are going to go there to anoint somebody to be king. That is foolish. Tell him that you are going to go there to offer a sacrifice. And when you get there, you will do the other business. So I said, you told me that you are going to go there to offer sacrifice. You went there to anoint David to be king. But I offered a sacrifice. Didn't he offer a sacrifice? He did. He offered a sacrifice. What he does after the sacrifice is not your thing. So far, I said, you will improve them when everybody can come to won't we do any other thing after the sacrifice? So I offered the sacrifice, O king. What I do after this, what I told you was correct. Do you follow me now? the wisdom of God. Rahab, the prostitute. The wisdom of God. Where are the men who came here? You know that I am a prostitute. All men come in and go out. Hallelujah. It is true. They come here. I'm a prostitute. Men come in, men go out. They have left. I'm waiting for the next contingent. Hallelujah. That was a stretch. Call it lie. But that was the wisdom of God. That was the wisdom of God. A friend of mine, not a Christian, we were talking. And was asking questions about this. Then I said, okay. I said, let me tell you. If somebody was pursuing you to kill you, and you ran into my house, and I hid you under my bed, and the person comes to me and says, he's in this house, bring him out. And I said, I opened all of the doors. I said, he's not here. Listen, open all the doors. Let him search. But you enter, search the whole house. I may have discouraged him from searching. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And then he says, okay. He turns around and he goes away. When you come out from under my bed, come to me and say, you lied. You should have told me I was under my bed. So where was the lie? That was not a lie. God will bless me. Yeah? God will bless me for saying what I said because I have saved somebody's life. And maybe I have not allowed the other man also to be a murderer. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else had a question? Yes, ma'am. Please start again. Yes.
Pertaining to the sense of lands.
Yes.
As we have been reading in the Old Testament, and many of the laws in the Old Testament, and when Jesus Christ has come to the world,
yeah.
Okay, it has covered everything and some of it. I want to ask this about the sense of land now.
Yeah.
We in the whole world, I don't see any other places anywhere they don't sell land now.
Yes.
Eh?
Okay.
You see, are we going to continue to be disobeying or to be sinning, or the Jesus Christ comes for to
take
this for us?
Okay.
Eh?
Yes, thank you very much. She says, look, this law is about land, don't sell off land. There's no nation where they're not selling off land now. Are we disobeying God?
No.
Tell me, do you know any nation that is obeying God? We have come by our own philosophies, our own system of government. When we are reading about the Old Testament, when Israel was governed in a theocratic system where God was the head of state, to say, and they had to be listening to God through the prophets. Are you following me now? Now we have democracy. I told you about 2 weeks ago, I said you people should define democracy for me. And you defined it. Didn't you define it? Define it again. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. And I said, where is God? There is no God in the definition of democracy. Democracy is about the wisdom of people, not the wisdom of God. But in the democratic system, you can be a Christian by your own self. Do you follow me now? But the system is not about God. It's about people thinking for people. That is all. Okay. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The last one.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Somebody?
Yes, sir.
I stand to be corrected, but I want to go back to the issue of the land chain that the Libanese mentioned.
Okay.
Aside from the things which you have mentioned, I think when we talk about land, it's not as if a lot depends on it. Like, we talk about evil man, when we talk about human being eating, I mean, we have to plant, some also. And the land has to be what? Rich for it to bring out its fruits. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, I think part of what the Lord did was that he said the land has been cursed. Sound also?
Yeah.
So the survival of human beings, I observe, is somehow attached to the land. For example, look at the boundary of Nigeria. We have cut off Ghana, Abi, and Nigeria is so blessed with oil. That's the land mass which we have. But Ghanaians now started to search, not until maybe a year or two ago. They discovered more than that.
Okay.
So I discovered that even if God wants to punish human beings severely, that is one of the good tools which he can always use. Thank you.
Okay. Somebody. Okay.
You say that the land belongs to God.
Yes.
And God gave the land to us to have dominion over the land. And people are selling the land.
Yes.
So as they are selling the land now, and God didn't want us to sell it. And you see some people inside the land, they can be doing what they like with the land. But some people that is not a part of the world cannot do what the world is doing. Is it not your statement?
Is it not?
What you said.
Hey, no, listen.
So what I'm not, I never mean, it as you now, I know you are not God and you are not Christ.
You know.
But we are imitating you. For example, now if you get a land, in your place now,
yes.
Will you sell it?
If you want to buy it. Praise the Lord. Remember I told you, we are looking at laws that operated under the Old Testament. When he was talking about not selling the land, he was talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. The same law was not operating outside of Israel. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. And next, on Thursday, you will see Jubilee too. We will see Jubilee, because what we are talking about now is not Jubilee inside of the nation of Israel. Are you following me? So the law was not universal. So we are Nigerians. That is why we are selling land. Praise the Lord. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray now. Let everybody pray. Let everybody just bless the name of the Lord. Just give thanks to God. Give glory to God. Thank God for grace to have ears to hear these things. Grace to be partakers of this inquantifiable spiritual blessing. Grace to live the word. Grace to prosper by the word. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? Anybody here? Please raise up your hand. I want to pray with you before I take my seat now. Anybody who is not born again, wants to give his life or her life? Anybody? Father, we bless your name. We glorify your name. Thank you as we continue today in your blessing. Thank you for the spirit of counsel. Thank you, Father, for accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. A good clap of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah.